I get your name first?
I'm Tom Conrad.
And your company is?
It's an internet radio service called Pandora.
And maybe you could tell people more about what Pandora does?
Sure. Pandora is a service that we have in the U.S. And the idea is that our listeners come and tell us about an artist or a song that they love, and we kind of look up the musical fingerprint of that that artist or song, and then we create what you might think of as like an online radio station that plays that artist, but also other music that's similar that we think you'll love.
And you were speaking today, so what were you speaking about at the Growth Conference?
The people who put this together asked me to come and just talk about kind of the ups and downs of startup life. And Pandora has a 10-year history. There's been many great moments, but also some pretty spectacular lows. And I've been involved in startups for 20 years, and my career itself has had plenty of low points. So I'm sort of focusing on the part of entrepreneurship that doesn't get talked about as much, which is those tough days.
So maybe elaborate a little bit on you were involved with Pandora from the beginning. So that's a long time, 10 years. Is it the highs and the lows? Maybe elaborate on those.
Sure. So the Pandora story starts in 2000 when the company was founded under the name Savage Beast, of all things. And for the first 4 years of the company, we were focused on kind of music recommendation infrastructure that other consumer brands would use. So like AOL would use our technology to make music recommendations on their websites, and music retailers would sometimes bring our technology into stores to help people find music at kiosks and things. I actually came to the company 4 years in and was part of a team that kind of revisioned the company and took it from being this kind of B2B service, infrastructure service, and turned it into a consumer company, which is where we came up with the ideas that led to Pandora, and we launched it in 2005. So Pandora's 5-year anniversary is just a few days away.
So what was the reason for revisioning it, I guess?
You know, infrastructure companies are generally difficult. I think they're doubly hard when the market that you serve is very small. And so in our case, you know, our technology was really only applicable to music-oriented endeavors. And so, you know, there might have been 20 potential customers for our infrastructure. So it was the market size constraints on one end. And then I think the other thing that people far smarter than I recognized was that, you know, in 2004, you know, local favorites, you know, Flickr were kind of starting to get traction, and we were coming out of that kind of nuclear winter that had resulted after the bubble burst in 2000, and it just seemed like there was this opportunity maybe to build a consumer experience again, and hope that you might find an audience, penetration of broadband and all of that coming on strong. So it was kind of those two things, both realizing the constraints we were under in our existing business, but also like walking towards this new opportunity.
So at that point, did you have to go out and look for more investment and go, this is our kind of new idea of an older company, or how did you propose to grow it?
You know, we were really fortunate in that regard. You know, the weaknesses of the early business of the company, one thing that the company had done a great job of doing was building a really remarkable roster of customers. So Best Buy and Borders Books and AOL and Tower Records and just kind of every sort of name brand music, you know, retailer you could think of was a customer. And on the backs of that success, the company was able to raise its first real funding, venture funding, in March of 2004. And great credit to the investors. They really were, in part, the driving force that said, you know, we think it's time for you to think bigger and to take this company and go into the consumer market. So we were fortunate enough to have that funding for that idea come in anticipation rather than something we were outselling.
So were you proposing to them the amount that you needed, or were they saying, this is the kind of money that we think that you need to actually get this to the next level?
You know, there's always a bit of a negotiation around that. You know, on the one hand, you know, entrepreneurs are motivated to take the smallest amount of funding they think is necessary to get to the next major milestone. Which, you know, helps combat dilution and things. Investors may have an objective of getting a particular share of the company, which might lead to a larger round of funding. And then that can all flip as well. I mean, you have investors that have a perspective that says we're going to place a ton of bets and we're going to make them very, very small, and only, you know, reinvest when we see achievement. And you have entrepreneurs that say, gosh, let's take everything we can off the table right now, save it for a rainy day. So in our case, you know, there was a discussion with our investors about what the right amount was to get to that next milestone.
So we're up in Vancouver, and there's this connection with C100. Is there a connection either personally or with Pandora on that level?
There's not, actually. Debbie, who put this this conference together, is a friend and likes the Pandora story and just asked that I come up and share a little bit. I'm from Ohio, which is like the Canada of the States, so dispositionally I'm suited to Canada, I guess.
And so what do you see in terms of your growth going forward with the kind of environment that we have? And is it, you said a U.S.? Do you see it coming into Canada? Or
we're incredibly interested in making Pandora an international phenomenon and have a particular fondness for the notion of bringing Pandora to Canada. In fact, it's something that we've been working fairly actively on for the whole 5 years of our life, and even have had some discussions about Canada in particular very, very recently. The challenge for us isn't really technical or product vision focus. It's really about being able to secure the right set of music licensing rights that allows us to deliver a Pandora-style service in Canada under economics that make sense. And we continue those conversations. We're not as close together as I'd like for us to be with respect to about what a fair and reasonable set of royalties is, but I hope that we'll get there.
So do you see Canada as being sort of more open or closed relative to, say, some other countries that you're looking to penetrate?
You know, it's hard to paint it with a broad brush, because in music, there are at least two copyrights at issue. There's the songwriting copyright, and there's a copyright associated with the recordings, and which means that there's lots and lots of stakeholders in both of those camps, and there are people that are very enlightened in Canada about what a reasonable structure would be, and there are others who have a much more conservative approach, and building consensus is the thing that's the hardest bit. So there are people in Canada on the rights holder side who are anxious to bring Pandora and other services like Pandora into the Canadian market, and then there are those who have a really different perspective. Which is pretty much the case around the world. You know, there are always people who have a progressive view and others who have a more conservative view.
So is there anything you're going to take away from the Growth Conference heading back down to the States?
You know, I think I'm impressed with all of the entrepreneurs that I've met, and certainly think there's a great opportunity for investors in Silicon Valley to get involved with companies here to great effect.